Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 29.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. It's episode 29, and I have another challenge from my TikTok channel. And remember that I have three full IELTS speaking tests that you can use for your own practice if you want to get a little more confidence. Remember that I will not be able to give you feedback directly on TikTok. I will do so here in the podcast. And this is what I'm going to do today. I have another person from Zambia this time who did an incredible job in the challenge. I can't remember exactly which one it was because I think it was test two, because I have three tests. And it's a girl from Zambia and she did an incredible job. I think she demonstrated great skills for 7. I will explain why, probably 7 or 7.5, and I will explain why she didn't get a higher level. And it's a little more controversial because I know that Zambia has English as an official language. So you would be asking yourself, how come a person from an English-speaking country would get not more than a 7 or 7.5 in the IELTS exam? And it has to do with a number of things that I will explain now. According to Wikipedia, Zambia has around 72 languages, some of which have a long history in Zambia, while others, such as the Silozi, arose as a result of the 18th and 19th century migrations. The vernacular language, in the one that everybody uses to communicate, is Zambian English. In this case, English, the former colonial language, serves as a common language among educated Zambians. At the moment of their independence in 1964, English was declared the national language. English is the first language of only 2% of Zambians, but is the most commonly used second language. The English spoken in Zambia has some distinctive features, such as the omission of certain object pronouns that would be obligatory in Western English. The simplification of some phrasal verbs, for example, they would say throw instead of throw away, and subtle differences in the usage of auxiliary verbs, such as should, the simplification of vowel sounds. Most Zambians may regard taste and test as homophones, for example. They would say taste as test. And the incorporation of particles derived from Zambia's indigenous languages. Zambian English also incorporates South African words such as braai for barbecue. And this is an explanation for everybody that the standard assessed in English, the English standard assessed in IELTS, is a more international English, more preferably the RP, the received pronunciation, or the General American, or any other of the inner countries. I mean, when I say inner countries, I'm talking about the major countries that use English as a first language. For example, the US, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and the UK. So in this case, for example, we're talking about, I know it's a very colonial way of looking at English, and it's something that I honestly, personally speaking, I have a few problems with, because I know that English is a more international language, and I think that other varieties of English need to be addressed and need to be taken into consideration. But the problem is that there are many factors. Remember that the training that the examiners usually get is very strict. They have to be, and it's very difficult for them at times to really assign marks to candidates, because I know that they have a standard, and it, which is the same band descriptors for the speaking all around the world, but I know that interpreting those standards and those descriptors might probably have, or let the examiner, you know, have a little bit of a leeway or freedom to place the candidate at a certain band score. But the people from IELTS are very strict. And I know, And this is, I'm saying all of this because the person who's gonna, you're gonna listen to is a very fluent speaker of English, and I'm sure that she has spoken English all her life and she's had education in English back in the school. So I'm not diminishing her production. I'm not diminishing the level of English that she's got. You could also argue that she's a native speaker of English because she's been speaking English since she was a little child. But this is only a reminder that the standard that English, the standard for English for the IELTS is quite strict in many terms. Actually, a lot of native speakers have to take the IELTS, and the aspects of her of their intelligibility come into play, especially if you come from a country which has a very different variety of English. They need to adapt to the variety assessed in the exam. It's the only way in which the exam can guarantee that everybody will be tested, everybody will be assessed under the same criteria. So I know it's a little bit hard, and I, myself included, I defend other varieties of English. And I think that, you know, these exams tend to be a little bit strict about the standard that is usually tested. But that's life. That's the way it is. The reason behind some of my judgment in the following segment. Okay, so bear with me. You have to be a little bit patient with me. I will try to be as objective as possible with this candidate, who did it really well. But I will try to be as objective as possible. And remember that this is based on the criteria for the IELTS and the standard English that is usually accepted for this exam. Okay, so stay tuned, because in the following section, you will listen to the full test, which is not, by the way, a full test. IELTS test is just a shorter version of the exam with fewer questions. And of course, I will edit out all the blank spaces, especially the 1 minute blank space in which the candidate has to prepare for part two. Okay, so stay tuned. Next part, you'll be listening to the full test, and then in the following part after that, I will give my feedback. So this will be the IELTS, the full IELTS exam, as I promised. Remember that all the waiting times will be edited out. And if you want to see the prompt for the second part, you know, the task that you have to do, I know that you will not be able to hear it full in this recording, but I will post the link to the exam on my TikTok account so you can watch it. And you can also do it yourselves and, you know, tag me if you're on TikTok, or send it to me if you're not on TikTok. Okay, so let's take a listen to the IELTS test.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank. Can you tell me your full name?
My name is Kalyan Kanja.
And can you tell me where you're from?
I am from Zambia, Ndola, which is situated in the Copper Belt province.
Now, in this first part, I'd like to ask you some questions about yourself. Let's talk about the place where you're living now. Tell me about the town or city where you're living at the moment.
Well, I live in Ndolo, which is quite a bustling and a highly urbanized place, which is a population of around about 1 million people. It's really got good trees. I really like it.
Do you think you will move to a different place in the near future?
Yes, I have been considering to relocate to another country for quite some time, and I hear a lot of good things about Canada, so I wouldn't want to miss
that. Let's talk about email. What kinds of emails do you receive about your work or studies?
The kind of emails I receive about my job is just the feedback on reports and a report about the work done during the week.
Do you prefer to phone or text your friends?
I prefer to talk to my friends on phone, as talking on the phone gives you direct feedback done rather than in a text, which takes a bit of days time.
I'm going to give you a topic, and I'd like you to talk about it for about 1 to 2 minutes. Before you talk, you'll have 1 minute to think about what you're going to say. You can make some notes if you wish. Do you understand? Take some paper and pencil to make your notes. And here's your topic. I'd like you to describe a hotel that you know, all right? Remember, you have 1 to 2 minutes for this, so don't worry if I stop you. I'll tell you when the time's up. Can you start speaking now, please?
Well, hotel industry is one of the most leading businesses in my country, as it offers accommodation to different kinds of people, people leaving the country and also people entering the country. Just recently, I visited a very beautiful hotel that is located blocks away from my house and the town center. The hotel is called Portier Hotel, and which is recommended by different kinds of people with a 5 rating, 5 star. The hotel offers really different kinds of services and facilities, such as has the gym, which helps you to keep fit and to work on your exercises, and different kind of instrumental gym equipments. And it also has a restaurant, which is good when you can have your fast food there.
Thank you. We've been talking about a hotel that you know, and I'd like to discuss 2 or more general questions related to this. What are the sorts of things that people consider important when they stay at hotels?
The first thing that people consider about a hotel is the structure, and how the building looks is very important, as it's what promotes attraction to people. And the second thing would be cleanliness and how well this hotel was ventilated and the customer service offered.
Why do you think that some people just don't like staying in hotels?
Well, yes, I do have one of my couple of friends that don't really like staying in hotels. As for me, I prefer staying in a hotel, as I feel it's a really good time to get your leisure. My friend says it's not safe, it's insecure, and there could be crimes that might happen over there.
Thinking more about luxury hotels, do you think that staying at a luxury hotel is a waste of money?
I do not feel that staying in a luxury hotel is a waste of money, only because a luxury life is when it's a time that everyone is obligated to have to feel happy and to reap your hard work. And also, it's just part of social living and the symbolic status.
Do you think that working at a hotel as a career is a waste of time?
Well, every job is a job, and there is some form of remuneration at the end of the month. And this remuneration will help you in many ways and will help you to pay your bills and also settle other outstanding expenses that you may have. I do not feel it's a waste of time.
Do you think that working at a hotel is a good career for life?
Working at a hotel is not really a good thing for life, as the job is really demanding. And you get to meet a lot of people. Let's say, for instance, the spread of a disease run offering customer service, meaning you're the frontliners of acquiring those diseases. So
thank you very much. Okay, so now that you've heard the whole exam, and remember that this is something that you can do if you follow my TikTok account. Let's begin with the fluency and coherence. Remember that the assessment criteria for the IELTS exam has four sections. It has the section of fluency and coherence, lexical resource, grammatical range and accuracy, and pronunciation. Now, when it comes to fluency, Callian demonstrate, I think her name is Callian. I couldn't hear very well, but just to make sure, I'm sorry, Callian, if I'm mispronouncing your name, but I think she demonstrates a good level of fluency throughout the exam, throughout the conversation. I believe that she speaks at a normal rate and she's able to maintain the flow of speech without a noticeable effort. Remember that when we come to understand fluency and coherence is basically the pace at which you deliver your words. And it's the way in which you can also connect ideas all together. It has to do with using hesitation intelligently. And you can make pauses, but you have to make sure that those pauses are not really language related, but more content related. I would say that she does so in this way. There are instances of hesitation. The typical use of the as a filler, indicating some searching for words. I would say that despite this, Callian manages to maintain coherence in her responses. Her sentences are logically sequenced and connected, and she also demonstrates an effective use of cohesive devices. However, the repetition and self-correction slightly hinder the overall fluency. For example, take a listen to this.
Well, I live in Dolo, which is quite a bustling and a highly urbanized place, which is a population of around about 1 million people. It's really got good trees.
So based on these observations, I would say that Callian could be placed around a band 6.5-7. I would venture and say that she would definitely get a 7 in fluency and coherence. I think she did a great job here. And you can tell that she's been speaking English for the longest time possible. And you know that Zambia has, they have English as a lingua franca across the country. So you can tell, you can definitely tell that her rhythm and speech and the way she linked ideas was really effective and really good. So congratulations on this regard, Callian. When it comes to lexical resource, Callian exhibits a good range of vocabulary and is able to discuss various topics at length. Of course, we didn't have time to discuss a lot of topics in the exam because it was a very short version. I would say that she uses less common and idiomatic vocabulary, showing an awareness of style and collocation. This in itself would definitely get her at least an 8, which is a very, very high score. However, there are some instances in which she shows some inaccuracies in word choice and collocation. For example, when she says this.
And I hear a lot of good things about Canada, so I wouldn't want to
miss that. Let's talk about email. I know that I interrupted her. I mean, of course, she didn't have time to answer the full question, but she said, I will want to make that. She said, I hear a lot of good things about Canada, so I will want to make that. When she should have said, I would like to do that. Of course, I speaking on top of her, but I could hear pretty well. In the real exam, that wouldn't happen, but that's the way she said it. And she also said this.
It's really got good trees.
When she should have said, it has beautiful trees. And I think, for example, in this case, when she talks about fast food, listen.
And it also has a restaurant, which is good, when you can have your fast food there.
I think she should have said only food because she's describing the hotel restaurant. And ideally in hotel restaurants, well, I know that this is arguable, but normally in hotel restaurants, they don't usually serve fast food. Despite these inaccuracies, I think Callian demonstrates the ability to paraphrase where needed, which is a positive aspect of her lexical resource. And in these observations, I think I might place her at least in a 7. If I get a little picky, I might say 6.5 in lexical resource. But I would say confidently between a 6.5 and a 7. So well done on this regard, Callian. Now the part that everybody worries about, and it's understandable because when it comes to grammatical range and accuracy, I know that the grammar that you are able to use in the exam will definitely help you determine the level of the person. Normally, when we talk about the syllabus of any course book, we talk about the grammar points that a candidate or a student is able to learn and produce effectively. So many course books, they're usually designed surrounding the grammar aspects that you have to learn according to the level. So definitely the level will be determined to how much grammar you know. But of course, there are other aspects like, as I said, lexical resource, coherence and fluency and pronunciation that will also determine your level. But, you know, grammar is grammar. So when it comes to grammar, I would have to say that Kalyan uses a mix of simple and complex structures, but with a limited flexibility. I think she's able to produce a variety of sentence lengths and appropriately uses subordinate clauses. However, there are frequent mistakes with complex structures. Though these rarely cause comprehension problems, it's still highly understandable. For example, take a listen to this.
I have been considering to relocate to another country for quite some time.
And this is a simple mistake because many people think that after consider, we use the pattern of the infinitive, but we don't. We, after consider, we use an ing form. So she should have said, I have been considering relocating. Another expression she said was this.
Let's say, for instance, the spread of a disease and offering customer service, meaning you're the frontliners of acquiring those diseases.
Which in itself is a bit unclear in meaning. I would have to say that the whole phrase would need to be paraphrased again or probably said in a better way so another speaker, especially a non-specialist who's listening to her, would understand what she's trying to say. Of course, we can make out what she says, but the way the sentence is structured sounds a little awkward. Again, it's not really affecting communication. But I think it would have to be said in a clearer way, maybe changing the order of the sentences. Because she said the spread of a disease when offering customer service, meaning you are the frontliners. I know that when we speak, we normally have a more chaotic way of organizing ideas, but I think she should have begun with when offering customer service, the spread of a disease can be problematic, for example, meaning you are the frontliners. By the way, I loved the expression frontliners, because you're referring to the people who are at the front line of acquiring those diseases. Again, acquiring may not be probably the best collocation with diseases, but I will take it. I'm talking about the parsing of the phrase, I mean, the how she organized the whole phrase, which I think it was not very effective. I think it could have been a lot better. So for these things, and these errors indicate a need for improvement in grammatical accuracy. I would say that based on this, Kalyan might be placed around band 6.5 minimum. I would say maximum a 7 in grammatical range and accuracy. I would have to say that she showed great control, but sometimes it was a little bit mixed. And you can tell that she would not get more than a 7 in this case. I would say that 7.5 would be a long stretch for her. Now, when it comes to pronunciation, I would say that Kalyan's pronunciation was really good. Yeah, I would say that that's her strongest area. Her pronunciation is generally clear and she can be understood throughout the conversation. She divides her speech into meaningful chunks, which is the way a lot of native speakers do. I mean, you can still, this is the area where you see that you can tell that she's been speaking English for a long time. She also uses stress and intonation to enhance meaning in her speech, which is great. However, there are some instances of mispronunciation. Take a listen to this.
And I hear a lot of good things about Canada.
She's pronouncing thing as ting. I know that's a very, very particular marker in many South African varieties of English. But remember that this is kind of a delicate area because when it comes to pronunciation, I mean, I know there are at standards of different varieties of English with way different pronunciations, but this is a very specific standard when we talk about, and I know it's a little unfair, but when we talk about, for example, IELTS or even Cambridge exams, we're looking at a very particular standard. And we talk about a very particular set of sounds. So it's, I know in my case, for example, my pronunciation or even someone else's pronunciation might not be the standard that, you know, a lot of, it's very difficult to explain because I know that, for example, friends from, I've got a lot of friends from Scotland in, you know, Scottish English, that's their first language. And they do have a set of vowels, for example, vowel sounds that are not really the standard. For example, when they say fish, it doesn't usually sound like fish. It sounds more like fish. It's like an e sound, not an e sound. So again, I'm trying to be as fair as possible. And I know that the pronunciation of some consonant sounds might interfere with intelligibility. In the case of the TH, for example, which is the case here, thing, if you say ting, it might be confused with the word tin, which is metal, this metal container where you can buy, for example, processed food. You know, it could be misunderstood in a way. So, and I know that it's a constant thing. You can go back and listen to the whole exam that Callian did, and you can see that that's a pattern in her, the ting, for example, the TH pronunciation. Another problem, and this was obviously evident, is this one. Take a listen.
Well, every job is a job, and there is some form of remuneration at the end of the month. And this remuneration will help you in many ways.
And in this case, for example, she should have said remuneration, and she said renumeration. In this case, it would be completely unintelligible because she is changing syllables, basically. These errors might affect her score, placing her, I would say, between a 6.5 and a 7 in pronunciation. Despite these errors, Callian's accent does not significantly affect the intelligibility of her speech. I think she does a great job. And I like her, I like the way she connects sentences. And she has a very, I would say, and take a listen, take a note of this word. She sounds very mellifluous. Mellifluous. It's M-E-L-L-I-F-L-O-U-S. Mellifluous. It means that she has a kind of musicality in her speech. In summary, Callian's performance is generally good, but there are areas for improvement, particularly in lexical resource, grammatical accuracy, and pronunciation. With some focused practice and feedback, Callian has the potential to improve her IELTS speaking score. I know that overall, she would probably get a 7, I would say. But confidently, she would get a 7. 7 is advanced English. If you think about how the IELTS is compared to other exams, and even to the CEFR, which is the Common European Framework for Languages, she would be placed at a C1 level, which is advanced speaker. But there are things that, you know, might be affected by the way in which English is spoken in Zambia. But overall, she's a strong candidate, and she did a great job. And I appreciate so much that she took part in my TikTok challenge. So this was everything for today's episode. I wanted to make it a little short because it's just like that, fine and dandy. Now, I think this TikTok challenge that I posted quite a while ago has been very productive. A lot of people have responded to it. And even though many of them don't tag me in their productions, some of them do. And I'm very grateful for that. In this case, Callian did an incredible job. And I thought that this might be a great chance to showcase her skills and also to point out at different things that might prevent you from getting your desired score, especially if you're aiming at an 8 or even a higher score than that. Remember that the IELTS exam goes up to 9 points. And remember that 8.5, 9 points would be C2 proficiency. And yes, that's basically what I wanted to do. Remember that in the episode description, you will have a link directly to the video that Kalia used to do her challenge. So you can go ahead and do it as well. If you're not even preparing for the IELTS exam and you're preparing for another exam, I think it would be also a great chance to practice your English skills, because the good thing about the IELTS is that it's a one-to-one ratio, which means that there's one examiner, one candidate, and you don't have to interact with another person. Cambridge exams are a little more complicated than this, because in that case, you will have two. Sometimes you can even have three candidates. So it makes it a little more difficult to find people to get them do a mock exam. So I've done quite a few. If you listen, go back to my shows before, my episodes before, I have done quite a few, basically people asking for my feedback and guidance into how to improve their English skills. But the IELTS exam, I think it's perfect for that one-to-one production, one-to-one assessment. So go ahead and do it. Check out my TikTok channel. By the way, this weekend just surpassed the 200,000 follower mark. It's blowing out of proportion. I never expected, not even in my wildest dreams, that I would get to this number of followers. I know that on TikTok, there's a lot of bulk of people following you, but it makes me very happy. And what I like about it is that it's not only that people following me, it's people commenting on the videos and people liking the videos or sharing the videos. It makes me really happy. It makes me believe that I'm doing the right thing for a lot of people out there. So thank you very much for that. And with a new, because we have a new system for checking out the podcasting, now Anchor, which used to be the, let's say, the software or the provider for my podcast, it fully belongs to Spotify now, and now it's called Spotify for Podcasters. And now the whole interface, the back door, the back end, the way I see the podcast when I upload episodes and stuff, I can see a lot more information that I couldn't see before. And now I can see a lot of things like how many people follow me on Spotify and how many people listen to my podcast in different countries. And it's amazing. One day I will talk about it. I will share with you a lot of the things that I can see from my end and how, even though a lot of people don't contact me directly, how I know that you like the podcast, how you know that the things that I do. So I will organize this. And also I have other plans and other people that I want to invite to my show, other experts that, you know, will share their knowledge and their know-how with everybody else. So stay tuned, because many more things will come this way. So thank you very much for joining me this week. And until next week, bye-bye.